He's for us, amen. Yeah, we're playing with the house sound, and so we're gonna working that out. So it's gonna be fun tonight. I hope that everybody's watching online and that's coming through. But tonight I'm thrilled to begin. I was just meditating on this, and I was thinking, you know, sometimes we get into modern Christianity, so to speak. And it's like, is that really how they did it in the old days, right? And so I'm thinking that way, and I'm just going, well, what did they preach in the book of Acts? And what does that look like, and what does that sound like? And so tonight I just want to preach Peter's sermon, if that's all right with you. I'm going to explain it and teach it and talk about it. But if you'll go to Acts chapter 2, and again, in Acts chapter 2, well, first of all, let's back up. You remember that Peter was the one who, you know, that he was kind of up and down, wasn't he, all the time? He was all over the place. It was like, one minute, you're the Christ, you know, you're the Son of the living God. And Jesus goes, man, flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but the Spirit of God, you know, and upon this rock I'll build my church. And he's going, yeah, that's cool. And then just a few sentences later in the chapter, you know, Jesus is saying what he had to go through. And Peter says, I don't think so. And Jesus had to say to Peter, get behind me, Satan. In other words, what not necessarily that Peter was possessed, but what Peter was saying was coming from the enemy instead of from God. So here's Peter one minute just being exalted, and the next minute, huh? Right? You know, get behind me, Satan. And then you go forward, and Jesus is at the Last Supper. He's predicting what he's going to have to go through. And you know, he said, you're all going to scatter. You're all going to die. Peter said, not me. Rest of them, I'll die for you. I'll be right with you. And, of course, he denied him three times. Right? So that's the same Peter, and then Jesus kind of restored him and came to him after he was resurrected, and he said, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. He said, feed my sheep. Then he said a second time, Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Well, yeah, Lord, I love you. And then he said, feed my lambs. In other words, he was restoring him. He denied him three times. He was restoring him. But watch this. He said, don't go out and preach yet. Don't go to the world yet. And I think it's in Luke, it says, wait there in Jerusalem until you receive the promise on high. That's actually Acts chapter 1. So you wait in Jerusalem. So all of these people are waiting in Jerusalem for the promise of the Holy Spirit to come upon them. And then in Acts chapter 2, and it says that they were all in the upper room, and you know, it talks about the Holy Spirit coming down with tongues of fire, and they all spoke with other tongues, and it was so crazy that they went out into the street, and people thought that they were drunk because they were all kind of, I'm assuming that they were all kind of giddy and excited and you know, speaking. And they said, what is this? They're all speaking in our own language, because some of them were different parts of the world. What is this? We're all from a different language. And are these people drunk? What's going on here? And that's when Peter showed up with this message. And so let's take it up in Acts chapter 2 and verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea. This is the same one that ran away just a, you know, few days before, right? Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and take heed my words. See, these words that he's about to speak, he had to know they could have got him the same results that Jesus' words got him. And we're going to, you know, in the book of Acts, at later times, he's beaten, he's all of that for preaching this gospel. But listen to this. He's preaching to the very same people who yelled, "Crucify," right? Think about that for just a minute. He's standing up and boldly he's saying, "Take heed, listen to me." It's so astonishing to me. And so he said, "For these are not drunk as you suppose," verse 15, "since it's only the third hour of the day, but this is what was spoken by Joel the prophet." And he's going to go into the next several verses, and he's going to begin to talk about prophecy from the Old Testament. And what he's doing with that is he's proving by the Word of God that Jesus was the Messiah. Now, think about this. He didn't have time to go home and prepare this message. He didn't have time to go home and, you know, get a theological degree. He was a fisherman, right? He wasn't trained necessarily in the Scripture, but Jesus had taught them all that the Scripture had to say about him. But watch this. He got up and he was bold. He boldly proclaimed. He said, "Men of Judea, listen to this. This is not what you're thinking, but this is what Joel prophesied." And let's go on and read that. "It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see vision, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and maid servants I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke, and the sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." He's going to go on to talk about that Jesus is the one that, you know, that fulfilled this Scripture. But listen to what he's saying. He's saying, on your sons and your daughters, they're going to prophesy. What does that mean? That means to speak under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Why is that significant? Here's a fisherman who denied Jesus three times. He's standing up before, as we're going to see, a few thousand people, right? And he's declaring very loudly and boldly that this is that. And so what he's actually doing is he's actually showing proof that this Scripture is true. Do you get that? It's like he's speaking under the unction of the Holy Spirit. The anointing of God is upon him. Why? Because he was filled with the Spirit. And he's saying, listen, they're not drunk like you suppose they are. They've been filled with the Spirit of God. And this is the very thing that God promised in the book of Joel. Even when it talks about how that they all heard them speaking in their own language the wonderful works of God, that was a supernatural sign that the gospel is real, that the gospel is true. Isn't that awesome? So he's preaching that, and listen again what he says, and I love this, because this is true for you and me tonight. What he's preaching here is true for you and me tonight. We've been filled with the Spirit. We have the Spirit of God on the inside of us. Many of us pray in the Spirit, right? But that's the inward part. There's an outward part that's supposed to be happening. And that outward part, Jesus said it this way, "Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water." And that's for us to be able to be used by God to touch other people. Are you listening to me? Who? Everybody. Because again, listen to who he talks about. He said, "And it shall come to pass in the last days," verse 17, "that I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh." Well, I think everybody in here tonight is part of that group, right? Everybody watching online, you're part of that group. You're part of the all flesh. So he's promised and he said through Joel that in the last days he would pour out of his Spirit upon all flesh. Now, if it was the last days back when this was written over 2,000 years ago, it's closer to the last days right now. And what we see in the news and what's happening over in the land of Israel and all the prophecies that have been fulfilled, we've got to know that we're in the last of the last days. So God is still in the process of pouring out His Spirit upon all flesh. Everybody say, that's me. Come on, that's me. And why is that important? Why do I want you to declare that? Because we have to begin to have a confidence that if God puts us in a position to declare something to somebody else about Him, He's going to empower us to say it. And not only that, He told His disciples, He said, listen, you're going to have to go before judges. You're going to have to go before people who have big titles. You're going to have to go through all that. But don't worry about what you're going to say. What did He say next? He said, because the Spirit will give you the words that you need to speak in that very self-same hour. If that was true for them, don't you think that's true for us? Right? And have you ever been in a position, and if you haven't been, I'm praying that it will come soon, where we're in a position where God uses us to talk to somebody about Him. But we have to have confidence that when we talk to them, we're not talking to them on our own. The Holy Spirit is giving us the words to speak. Watch this. This is so good. And again, I'll pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Now, when He talks about prophesying here, He's not talking about telling the future, right? He's not saying, thus saith the Lord, on Tuesday, Jesus is coming back. That's not what He's talking about. What He's talking about is inspired speech. In other words, God will supernaturally give you a download of words that you can speak to touch somebody else. And He says, on your sons and your daughters. Well, in that culture, the daughters weren't supposed to speak. Right? But in here it says that they are. So why do, some churches won't let women say anything at all in church, and that's kind of silly to me, because He said here that He would pour out His Spirit on all flesh, and the sons and the daughters would prophesy. So if we're excluding half of the people, and most churches it's more than half of the people, right? Then we're missing out on what God wants to do. And so I am wanting to stir all of us, especially on Wednesday night when we get together and when we pray for one another, that we have to start having an expectation. God, You are going to use me. And I'm available to be used. And so if we're praying for somebody and you feel like the Lord is saying something to you about somebody else, then we need to just give into that, right? And pray that through. Hallelujah. Again, He says, I like this. I will pour out My Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on My men servant and on My maid servants, I will pour out of My Spirit in those days. We ought to all be with this kind of view in mind. Here I am, Lord, pour it out. Here I am, Lord, I'm expecting. I have a great expectation, God, that You'll use me. Because He wants to. All of us. Watch this. It's not only that we're going to prophesy. Look at this next part. It says, I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs in the earth beneath. Blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming and great and awesome day of the Lord. In other words, God is going to have signs and wonders happening. And how does signs and wonders happen on the earth today? It's because believers start to speak from the prophetic word of God, and then God does something through them, right? And we're seeing signs in the sky, and we're seeing all kinds of different things, and people have written books about end times, and that's all wonderful. But here's where I'm at with this, and especially I want to be used by God to be a sign and a wonder to somebody else, right? And how does that happen? You might be talking to somebody and they say, well, you know, I'm going through this and I'm going through that and I'm going through that. And you say, well, listen, I just want to tell you, I was in that position before. And this is what God did for me. And you begin to speak of not something natural or something that can be explained away, but you go, you know, I really was lost and without hope. But now I have the Spirit of God on the inside of me, and He's changed me from the inside out. I know Jesus loves you because He loves me. I know that Jesus is real because He has revealed Himself to me. Right? I haven't seen Him. I haven't seen His face. I don't hear external voices, but I do hear the Spirit of God on the inside. Right? And if you've ever watched God use somebody else, right? It might be, you know, a service here, or it doesn't really matter where it is. That should be a motivation for us to press in. God, how do you want to use me? I could tell you that God wants you to be used not only in church, but He wants you to be used in your home. He wants you to be used on the job site. He wants you to be used everywhere. And He will absolutely do supernatural things. I'm not talking about every day. I'm not talking about you just living in this cloud and you just walk around. But I'm talking about being at the store and somebody comes up to you and they start talking like they did to Anita not too many, a month ago or so. And she was able to pray for them. Why? And she prayed, I believe, according to the Word of God. And by the Spirit of God, we should expect that we're going to make a difference in somebody's life because of what God is doing on the inside of us, right? We may not have all of the answers for people, but we know the one who does, right? And He poured out His Spirit on us. So it's kind of like I have an expectation that if I am being used by God, that He will back up His word. He told me to lay hands on the sick and they would recover. Well, I have no power to heal anybody, but I have an expectation, and it's building on the inside of me, that when I make that connection by faith and I lay hands on them, then I believe that God is going to use me to touch them, to create a sign and a wonder to them so that they can know that Jesus loves them. And here's the whole purpose of it, and it's written in this verse. Verse 21 says again, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. What's it all for? It's so that people can call upon the name of the Lord and that they can be saved. Saved from what? Saved from yourself, first of all. Saved from your sin. Saved from all of that, but also saved from the wrath that is to come. Saved from hell. Saved from all of that, but saved from the misery that the enemy wants to keep you in. It says, all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that word is sozo, and it's more than just I'm going to be in heaven. It means deliverance. It means provision. It means all of those who call upon the Lord should have an expectation that when I do, God is with me and God is for me, and God will see me through. Hallelujah. It's so good. It's so awesome. Hallelujah. Listen to this again, Peter. Just think about Peter, the denier, right? Speaking before all these men and women who crucified Jesus. Men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. He's saying, you watched it. Many of you that I'm talking to right now were there when he fed 5,000 with just a few fishes and a few loaves. Many of you were there when Lazarus was brought forth out of the grave. Many of you were there when blind Bartimaeus got his sight. Many of you were there when he was in the temple and they asked him questions and he just blew them away with his answers. You were there. You witnessed it. This Jesus of Nazareth that I'm talking about, you know. And in their hearts, they had to admit that there was something different about that man, right? But now he's going to go on. And again, he's speaking to Jewish people. He's speaking to people who have at least a knowledge of what the Torah and the prophets and the law said. He is speaking to those people. But watch again. He said, again, men of Israel, hear the words, these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by this miracles, wonders, the signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands and have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. He's saying, you did this, but God was in this. So critical. You did this. Again, somebody standing up and say, look it, I got a bone to pick with you, right? You did this. Think about that. What would your reaction be? Oh, are you talking to me? Come on, are you talking to me? But their hearts were being softened because the Holy Spirit was giving these words to Peter to speak, and it was penetrating not just their minds but into their hearts. This Jesus, the one that you crucified, the one that you put on the cross, but listen, it was God's plan, and God used this for a specific purpose. And what was that purpose? Backing up to the previous verse, that all of those who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus might be saved. Is that awesome? What am I trying to do tonight? I'm trying to get us back into the reality that the power of God is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we don't have to have something that's extraordinary. And sometimes we get into arguments and all of that when we have to just get back to the simple gospel that we're all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We all need a Savior. None of us can make heaven on our own. But when we say these words, we have to start having an expectation that it's not going on deaf ears, because God is using us to put it into the hearts of the people that we're listening to. Right? I want to see more people call upon the name of the Lord and be saved than we've ever heard or seen before. I want our drug addict friends to call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. I want, you know, like many of us who were in that world at one time, God is able to deliver to the uttermost anybody who calls upon him. Aren't you glad? Right? That's our message. But why? This is what happens. We become so familiar with it, and we think that everybody's heard it, that we've stopped saying it. And here's the reality. People may have heard the words before, but they haven't really heard it on the inside. And some people have sown seed before, but we might be ones that are watering the seed, or praise the Lord, he might be giving us the opportunity to be ones to reap what's been sown. But we have to have an